This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up, where this week we'll be talking about Season 14, Episode 15. I'm one of your hosts, Jason Reed, and I am honored to introduce, with her rendition of Get Down by Steve Moy, Asia Welch. Take it away, Asia.
Oh my gosh, Jason. I'm not prepared for this.
Start it up.
Get down, get down, get down, get down. I can see Steve's mom dancing with us from afar.
Mouthing the words.
Every single word. And the whole city of whatever city that was in Maine or Massachusetts. I told y'all last week I don't know the Northeast that well. But
yes. It
doesn't
exist in Asia's mind.
So far. Hey, I'm doing well. I'm here. I did want to say, like, this week, just make sure you're not too much. These past 14 episodes, you've just been way too much, sounding too much like Barack Obama, talking too much about the show, just too much.
Asia, I told you since week one, that's a trigger for me to be told I'm too much. How dare you?
I'm just so inconsiderate. But yes, we are here to talk about episode 15, and we're not alone. We have one of our favorite guests back with us, a great friend of the podcast. We have Mari Forth. Mari, how are you doing?
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm on a podcast with a rapper. This is awesome.
Right. Sounds like, I know it sounded like a real song you would hear on the radio, huh?
I'm so glad to be back with you guys. It's been a millennia, it feels like, but you have single-handedly kept me interested in this season because of the drama, the intrigue that these couples are bringing are almost nil. So I just want to, I just love listening to you guys, honestly. And I'm so glad to be back. I want to talk about these couples. I wish I could drag some of them, but unfortunately, they were all kind of on their best behavior this week. So
you can do retroactive dragging if you like. We don't mind.
It's allowed. Oh,
okay. Somebody needs to get dragged. Y'all been doing a great job of it, I feel like. So few people.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we try. I mean, you know, there's so much you can say about some of these people, and then they just continue to surprise you each week. I want to give a shout out to season 10. Is on Netflix. So if y'all haven't seen season 10, they replaced season 9 with season 10 on Netflix. And I was just thinking about all the drama from different seasons and trying to think about this season in comparison. And we've had some drama, but I think when we look back, we're not going to be like, oh, season 14. Oh, you got to go check it out. Like it's been a good season, but definitely not one of the most entertaining, like drama wise, or maybe if you're looking for the love of it all, not even in that category.
Exactly. It's kind of been like, I'm sorry, Jason, but kind of been like drama, but not the fun drama. Like every time Olajuwon or Noi open their mouth. I just want to punch them because it's like, why are y'all doing this? Like, why are you doing this? It's not like, it's not even like over the top drama, like with Chris. You know what I'm saying? It's just like icky relationship drama. Like, this is toxic type of drama, which I don't want to watch. Like, I don't, that makes me sad. It doesn't make me want to watch the show.
So we've had a lot of fights, but it feels like the fights are all the same. Like, they're all the same, same fights. With, like, season 10 and season 12, they were some ridiculous fights about, like, ridiculous things. So you can at least be like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did. I can't believe Chris said that. Yes, like, right. But this is just like, okay, Lindsay's going off again about Mark, the like, not thing. Wanting her to touch him, blah, blah, blah. Noi is childish. Lige wants a, you know, ass. But it's like, you know, it's a lot of the same drama. New fights, same drama.
Yeah, it's just constantly that Black China's mom saying, like, why do you act like that? Just constantly to Noi, Olajuwon, and Lindsay. Every episode. Yeah. Had that little period of time where people were saying that to Jasmina until she kind of
I was Jasmina all the way. I was just I was just kind of like, okay, she, you know, she a little rough there. You a little rough with Michael there, but I saw the potential, and I can't wait to talk about them because I think you guys hit the nail on the head with them. Like, they truly could have worked if they got some intervention way sooner, but you know,
yeah. Experts. But before we dive into the episode, like we do every week, we want to shout out some 5-star reviews that we've received. We're so thankful for y'all for leaving us ratings and reviews. That, like we said, at the end of the season, we will give something special to a random 5-star review that we have received. So this week, we want to shout out Next Record, the title, very appropriate for the amazing record we got on this episode, titled Perfect Balance. I look forward to this recap every week. The perfect balance of thoughtful and funny. Love you too. Thank you so much.
We love you too, Next Record. all right, next up we have a review by there's a lot of M's. It's like 4 M's. XM. That's the submitter. The title is Love Listening Every Week. It says, love you all. Asia and Jason have good banter together. Also, O is different in friendships versus relationships because he looks at friends as equal humans and romantic partners as objects that are of his possession.
Oh, man. That's deep what a
right there.
Bomb dropped. That is the nail on the head if I've ever seen one.
Call him on his ish. Do it.
Yeah. That is like literally I've been trying to figure it out, like why it's so different, why we're seeing him different, but that's exactly it. He sees those relationships so differently. But man. Exactly.
Yes. Thank you all for your reviews. Keep them coming. We love to see them every day. I'm checking every single day, at least 5 times a day for new reviews. I want you to make us review dizzy. Please get that going. We really want it. Don't hold out on us like some people are holding out. We want them all.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. But yeah, just a couple of housekeeping things. We know that coming up is the San Diego season, so that should be dropping later this year in 2022. But I also hear that Dr. Viviana is not returning.
Dr. Viviana, you hardly knew the. Are you, do you think they're going to replace her section? Like, are they going to be like, all right, we're not going to have a sex expert anymore. We're going to have like, I would love to see like a like certified couples therapist or something.
I feel like they have to replace her with somebody that's focused specifically on relationships because you have Pastor Cal, you have so if it's not, a, and then you have Dr. Pepper with. Was she a sociologist?
Sociologist, yeah.
I feel like they have to have, if it's not some a sex therapist, something close to it. To I don't know.
If an expert falls in the forest and there's nobody around, were they really there? Does it matter? Like, unless they're going to bring the experts on more, doesn't matter if they replaced her.
You've seen her once all season. So it's just like, does it, like you said, Mark, does it matter? Like, are we going to miss the, are we going to miss the sex expert who talked to two couples that were actually having sex? One of which, only one of which is probably having sex on a regular basis this season.
Right. And it, especially like, you know, watching the older seasons, it really felt like they were way more hands-on in the older seasons. And now they just like, they pop up randomly. If they do pop up, they're there for like 2 seconds. I didn't even know Dr. Pepper was going to be in this episode, to be quite honest. I was like, oh, look at that.
Oh, well, and then,
she's there. And what happens? We get a lot of breakthroughs in the relationships.
Yes. She comes sauntering in here a week before decision day. Like,
how can I help?
Let me give you all the fixes. Now you have a week to work it out before you make a big decision. Here you go. Like, thanks, Dr. Pepper. Like, so helpful.
A little too late. Where were you week three? You know, that would have been very appropriate. Let's unpack where you guys are and how I can help. Not just, whatever. I mean, I am glad that we're very close to decision day. Like, based on this episode, like 9 days out. And on this episode, we saw them take some visits to their past. And then, you know, these little Dr. Pepper visits. So,
yeah, it looks like we're going to get decision day in like a couple weeks, like May 4th. So we have one more regular episode and then decision day the week after that.
Yeah.
So we're very, very, very close.
What year did they start these like memory lane walks? Because...
That's a good question.
I want to say it was, I mean, just based off nothing, I would say season 12. Like, if I'm
that's
like
what I was about to say,
searching my memory banks.
I don't remember them doing it in DC, and I don't remember them doing it in Atlanta
or New Orleans, which was
the 11. First time in Atlanta. 11. Yeah,
was it the first time last year, last season.
No, awesome. I feel like they did it before. I'm trying to like, it's so hard to imagine.
And I feel like we've got, we like in previous seasons, we had like very like organic, like, hey, let's go to your parents' house. Let's go to your, let's visit your family this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've gotten these like now structure, like you can't see your family until the end of the experiment. Like you must stay like, together. But I don't
know. Maybe it was when they started doing these, when they started living in apartments together. Because they used to have to find their own homes.
Oh, you mean in the same like apartment complex?
When they all started living in the same apartment complex, I feel like that's when things started to be more structured and they were like doing the experiment with the other couples. And I feel like the memory lane started to be incorporated around then. But so which couple do you want to get started with first, Jason?
Let's get Steve and Noy out of the way, you know?
Wise choice.
Went back to their boring couple status this week. So let's knock them out.
Hey, she did not mention once his job.
I'm telling you, he turned that laptop around and said, here, look, here's my account. I got $40,001 in the bank. Be quiet.
How'd you feel about that, Mari? Her whole issue with his job.
Man, I was ready to come on, clip loaded, to call her annoying. I was ready to give her the business. And then, like, they didn't even do anything this week. Like, you guys perfectly hit everything on the head with Steve and Noy, mostly Noy, because I just can't believe it. It's like watching the slowest car wreck ever. Because, girl, Asia's dream man is sitting right in front of you.
Yes.
Like, Steve probably matches everything on that list.
Yes.
And everybody else
is everything on Asia's list. All of it.
I mean, he does not have to work. And his money makes money. If you don't understand that just from what we've seen, he shouldn't even have to explicitly say it. Because I personally think, like, I think he's a secret millionaire, but he just don't want to say nothing on TV so they don't get robbed, to be quite honest, at this point. Like, how can you not look at that man and don't think he got stacks in his bank account at this point? I just don't understand. And I think what this episode kind of showed me about Steve and Noy, like, I think Noy is a tad bit jealous of Steve's upbringing and how he's been able to come through life.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, and you know, people who struggle and come from struggle, they, you know, you can always face it in very different ways. And unfortunately, I think Noi may have like internalized it a little bit. And we'll, yeah, of course, we'll talk about that a lot. But like, I still don't understand like why she even was worried, to be quite honest, because everything about Steve, I'm just telling you, like, I know he has money. Like, Asia's been saying it since the first yeah. episode. He clearly
money
has
recognizes money. Okay.
No. Yes, that too. And me, like everybody else, because I said, Steve, married at first sight. The first thing that popped up was LinkedIn. There was three articles about yes. his job history. I looked at his job titles. I was like, that man got money.
He's fine.
Man, several apps. I was like, you've got.
Yeah. It's like she had to show, he had to have shown her something when they did this little plan that just eased all of her concerns. Cause the fact that it has not been brought up once since then, I was like, okay, finally.
I still don't know. Cause I still don't know if she can let go of the association of a full time job and security. To be True. Quite honest. Yeah.
Well, she's going to bring it up next week again. So
exactly. She's going to bring it up next week again. I think she, it's just so clearly labeled in her brain. I wonder if she, I don't remember if she brought it up in this episode, but I wonder if her like parents work like multiple jobs, like a multiple job type situation. Mm-hmm. Because it's a new day. Like, people do not have to be to be tied.
Bringing this week. Oh boy, we got it started.
You know, like, enjoy that your man is in a position that he does not have to worry about his next job. He said, if I needed a job, I can go out and get one because I am what? Mm-hmm. Sickening. And he, for my Drag Race fans out there, Asia still don't know. But like, he even said, you can kick your feet up. That's a tainted phrase right about now. But I think she's jealous. I truly think she's jealous right now that he doesn't have a job and he's like, he's doing her housewife, what she wanted to be doing. Yeah. And I think she just needs to kind of realize that you can make money in different ways. Like, that's all it is. They can both be jobless, raising babies in his van, driving down the PCH if she would just act right.
Right.
Very well said.
Right.
Well, we start. This is the episode where we walk down memory lane. We visit our old childhood homes. We stand outside. I'm sure while the new tenants of whatever house we were living in look outside, say, "Who the heck is that?" Well, I stand outside with a camera crew shooting in front of our house. Who are these people? And then we also read letters that we write to our younger selves while also kind of pointing out criticisms about our current partner and what they're not doing for us. So this is that episode, folks. So we're Steve and Noi. We're going to start with us visiting his family home.
About like 50 minutes into the episode.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, why don't I have a section of my notes for Steve and Noi yet? Oh, this is our first scene with them.
That's what happens when you get a boring couple. Michael and Jasmina got us a few times. Like, where are they at? Like, oh, here they are. 45 minutes of the episode. Thanks for finally showing us what they're doing.
Right.
And the episode was really weird. It felt like it was jumping around a lot too.
Yeah.
Not just people like, oh, we're visiting their home. We're sitting down. Oh, we still got to go to the other person's house. Like, yeah.
I feel like all these families hate their people because we only met Steve's family. Like,
yeah, I was thinking that too.
Steve's dad probably didn't want to come out of the room. He's like, he got a job yet? Because remember, he called him a vagabond last time. Right.
He did.
So Steve's dad agrees with Noi.
Yeah. Tell Noi I said what's up. Tell Steve I ain't talking to him until he gets a job.
Right.
So they come into the house. And Steve says, you know, he tells Noi he's always lived there. You know, he lived there all his childhood, all of his adolescence. That's the one house he's been in. So it's very significant to show his wife this part of his life. They joke about the old car trick, not turning on the car, but letting it roll in neutral down the driveway. Noi's like, oh, is that a game? Like, Noi, you never snuck out of your house? Okay. Steve talks about the epic parties he used to throw in the basement. They go to his old room. He talks about how he shared this one room with his brothers. But now they've converted to a room for the grandkids. He shows her his old stuffed animal. And Noi being Noi, she's like, well, he's 38. Most of the time he gives up his stuffed animals. Like, it's not even in his house, Noi. Calm down.
Right. She acts like he pulled it out at the wedding. Yeah. Like, hey, I carry Sparky in my pocket constantly.
If you want to get to know me, you got to get to know him.
Wow.
I mean, this kind of like reminds me of what you said, Mari. Like, you know, the fact that he has these memories in his childhood home, it's like she, you know, she wishes that she had that.
Yeah.
But it's coming out in a way of just like, rather than being like, oh, I, you know, that's awesome that he has this. Like, I wish I could have had that. It's coming off in this very just like, it comes off kind of negative because it seems like, okay, she's expressing it in a way where she wishes that she had it, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you don't have to knock him.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has different upbringings, as Olajuwon explained to us thoroughly throughout this episode.
Happened a lot in a long way.
It is weird. Yeah. And Steve was the only one, like you said, fortunate enough that they are, his parents are still in that house that he grew up with, like with a stable marriage, you know, that what do you, at least 40 some years or something like that. Like any, you know, relatively sane person was looking at that and be like, wow, he has a great reference of what family is. And what, how to provide for a family and what family looks like. I would love to be married to a man like that, who clearly also, again, with LinkedIn snooping, a lot of his IT jobs have been in like education and working with children. And it's just kind of like, it's right there. Like, just grab it.
Steve's like checking his notification. He's like, why does Mari Forth keep looking at my profile?
I mean, you mentioned relatively sane people. If you're looking for those people, there are there's only like one this season.
It's Steve.
And that's Steve. Yeah. So they sit down and look at all his yearbooks from his school days, and he's talking about all the beat he made with his buddy Ryan. And he starts playing the song that Asia so wonderfully reenacted for us called Get Down. And, you know, as the show, you know, is showing us the song, giving us a sing-along on the bottom, his mom is just like mouthing the words like, this is a supportive mom. Like,
so she, supportive.
She went down to that basement with Steve and his buddy was like, oh, you got to get a better hook than that. Like, you need a better hook. Like get on it. So, like, she was in there making the beats with them. So she was like singing along with them. And, you know, Noi says she's impressed.
His mom was at the grocery store with the pack of CDs asking, hey, do y'all want one? I love this from her. Like it would have been, if I were Noi and I saw this, I would be thinking, oh my gosh, our kids would have such a supportive grandma. Like, they would be surrounded by love. I'm so glad that I married in, like, I'm merging families with this man who has this awesome family and they're so supportive. Her response to a lot of this was just kind of like, you would want her to embrace it. But, Steve's mom reminded me of my mom. Like, I tell my mom, I'm like, hey mom, I'm on the, Big Brother roundtable tonight. She's like, turning it on right now. Like, she watches all those live podcasts live.
My mom said, what's a podcast?
That part. My mom didn't care until I started podcasting about Insecure. She's like, oh, I can listen to that. I was like, yeah.
She's like, finally.
Yeah.
Something I like.
Wasn't this where we got the talking head of Noi, where she said something to the effect of like, Steve's basically had a very easy life. Like, she said something like,
that's why I like it. She's had a rough childhood and it's made her tougher and made her grow up faster. I'm like, did you grow up though? That's my thought. Yeah. Did you? Right. And she says, so she hopes he realizes how good he had it.
Yes.
Why?
It's just so negative, the connotation. Yes.
Yep.
It's like, why are you knocking him for his upbringing? Where, like, there's no, you don't have to compare. It's really not a competition. It's not who had the harder upbringing, who's tougher. It's like, you're literally, you should just be learning about this to understand him better, not, well, I had a rougher upbringing, so you better be glad. I'm just glad she didn't say that to his face.
Thank God.
I mean, but with this, like, with this episode, Noi is going to just latch on to her childhood and just ride it as, like, her justification for every single thing she's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, but ma'am, you're, like, 33, 34? Like, are we not, like, can we not get past some of this stuff? Like, you've had a long time since childhood, like a good like decade or so. Like, can we get over some stuff?
You know, I'll give it to her a little bit. I now understand her a little bit more, especially when she was just talking about how, like, she was basically raised in a house where she could not express herself like emotionally, so she would have other outlets to express her emotions. So it now I see why it's like, oh, she can go and post her annoying quotes on her social media, her vague quotes, because that's her emotional outlet. But my problem with that, I mean, other than, you know, just the whole you should not be publicly talking about your marriage on social media, but to me the even worse part about that is not only was she talking about her marriage on social media, she wasn't talking about it to him. Exactly. I think that's what makes it like twice as bad, because you're not even telling him you're having issues. You're not even expressing to him that you're feeling a certain way. But then you go online, you publicly put it on there for strangers for it to get back to him like third hand. Like, that to me is like a huge affront in this whole social media gate that they are in. And I just really need her to do better. Like, I truly do, because, you know, when I was on here, we were like at the honeymoons, right? The last time I was on here, like episode 4 or 5, the fish was wiggling and biting the toe. And I said, this will be the couple that is just all sunshines and rainbows and we'll barely see them. And Noi said, nope, I'm gonna make this as hard as possible. Right. And it's just really frustrating, because, like, especially since their problems is just so surface and so immediately fixable on so many levels. Show the bank account. Stop posting on social media. Like, that's why it's so frustrating for me with them.
Well, these two go back and forth with Mike and Jasmina, like, most frustrating and most, like, you're just in your own way. Like, stop it. Like, just be normal. Be cool. But yeah, no. So their next segment is they're going to go to a dance class. This is where Noi talks about how she wasn't able to express herself as a child, and she used music and dance to really kind of show her expression when she was a child, and she still does it to this day. So they start this little dance routine. What y'all think of the hip hop dance routine that they went through in this class?
Steve has rhythm. Okay, he was into it.
Heck, on the
I
list.
Don't know what. I don't know. I don't know what the beat was, but he was on it.
I love that
he embraced it.
Yeah.
He definitely did better than she did, but I mean, in a vacuum, like, that wasn't great.
Yeah, well, he's a rapper. So what do you expect?
Yeah. So Steve feels like she brought him there because music is a big part of her life, and they both take life seriously, but they can also both joke around. So that's something they have in common. She talks about dancing in her basement in the mirror. And she says the reason why music is so important to her is because as a child, she's not encouraged to express anger or frustration. And her dancing and music is a good way to feel those emotions. And it was a therapeutic release. She feels the reason she has trouble expressing herself is because it does not come naturally for her. We get a confessional from Steve talking about how he was allowed to dream and express himself as a kid. So he wants to kind of foster that environment for her, because that's what she needs. She then tells him that when she fights with him, it's not because she isn't invested. It's because that she wants to hold on to her independence. He says it's just nice to hear. He just wants to be listened to when he talks about their issues, and he's not trying to stifle her as a person or take away her independence. And he says, you know, I've adjusted things for you to make you feel better. I just kind of want that same respect back. And she just kind of looks, she has her Noi look, which is just like kind of stare off into spacey, like, I'm listening but not listening type of thing.
Yeah. Very petulant child look.
Yes, right. For sure.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the fact that she had to do this self-reflection, like, especially getting into the fact that she had to write the letter to Tyrion herself, it's helped her realize this thing about her independence. And I feel like, you know, Noi probably doesn't do that much self-reflection just on a regular basis. I mean, that's coming from somebody like as a seven, as an Enneagram seven, I do not just sit back and reflect on myself and the growth that I could make or just do any type of like deep self-reflecting. I'm more so about just having fun, being in the moment. And so like, I understand that she doesn't do this often, right? And so the fact that she has this understanding now, it helps her explain a lot of these behaviors, but it doesn't explain everything, which is what she's trying to make it do in this situation. It's like, okay, I can cling to this. And I think this could be any explanation for anything that has happened so far. I think it does certainly explains her not wanting to move in with him. But then like with like the social media thing, it's like, I don't know. That piece feels like a stretch.
Man, I think even the moving in is a stretch to me. I you don't want to give up your independence. Girl, you came on a show called Married at First Sight. What are we doing here? You know, and marriage is not giving up your independence. It's joining your life with somebody else. You can still be independent within a marriage. It is not that hard. Living separately is not a need to be independent. You know, right. It really feels like she just is putting up blockades for like no reason, like in front of them for absolutely no reason. Especially since Steve has not even in any such a way tried to stifle her independence. I mean, girl, look at Olajuwon. Like, what are we doing?
Y'all live across the hall from Mark and Lindsay. Some of the arguments.
She's trying to hold on to her independence that nobody has snatched from her. So weird. It just doesn't make any sense, and it truly just feels like she's trying to stop this for some reason. I don't think she was as ready as she thought she was.
Oh, absolutely not.
It just seems like it almost seems like she was talked into the show. Like someone has ramped her. It's like, hey, you should do the show. She's like, oh, I don't know. Like, no, really, you got to do it. And then she's like, okay. Like she didn't willingly sign up for the show or something.
Right.
And she also like, it's a kind of a theme that runs through some of these couples. Like, hey, this is my problem. This is why I am the way I am. And deal with it. Like, it's not like, here's what I'm going to do to fix it. It's like, no, this is my damage. So live with it. Mm-hmm. Take it or leave it.
I hate that mentality. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 of our couples have one of people with this.
Yes.
With this type of attitude about their issues. When we get to Noi's letter, she tells him that she's nervous, but it's also good because there's still so much to learn about each other. She talks to her younger self. She says she doesn't know much about herself and talks about her emotions and encourages her younger self to be okay expressing emotions. She talks about watching her mom come home from the chicken factory with bloodstains on her face and crying herself to sleep because of it and seeing her mom work hard, and that made her feel like a burden, and it would break her family's heart if they knew she felt that way. She apologizes to younger self for not letting herself feel her whole range of emotions, and since she felt like a burden, she would hide a lot about herself, and she tells herself that she is worthy and the love and acceptance she desires is inside of herself. Mom came home with blood on her face from the chicken factory.
I heard that part, and I remember watching and hearing blood on her face, and I was just like, you know what? I don't even need to dive deep into that. But the minute you said chicken factory, I was like, okay, that makes more sense. So it's like, if you've seen somebody work a job that they didn't want to work, why would, you know what? Never mind.
I get your logic.
but mom, you couldn't wipe your face off when you walked in. I mean, damn, like you gonna scar your children for life like that?
That is scary.
Gosh, oh, don't mind me. This is just my blood from working hard for y'all, working myself to the bone. She took some of that blood from working dad on her face where she walked in the house. I'm gonna make sure they know how hard I'm working out here. Noi tells Steve that she was writing to the 5 to 10 year old version of herself, and she tells him she felt like she never had a real childhood because she always had to worry about her family. Not being able to verbalize her emotions made everything heavy and scary, and she wanted to tell that kid what she felt mattered. She tells him when she saw her mom with bloodstains on her face, it made her sad, and even as a kid, she did not want her parent to work so hard and felt like a burden because her parents had to provide for her parents and siblings. Then in a confessional, Steve talks about how he has empathy for Noi and her family as he didn't grow up like that, and he can't imagine what it felt like, and he feels that it affects them because she needs a higher level of security, and he wants to make sure he's doing what he can to make her feel that security. Look at Steve. Look at our guy, Steve. Look at Asia's guy, Steve.
My man. It's really good. I will give it to Noi for doing this self-reflection and being able to realize that, like, she has a tough time opening up her emotions. But she's at a point right now where I'm just wondering, like, growing up, or like even in her 20s, because she's in her 30s now, like in her 20s, she never had any type of relationships or friendships that allowed her to realize this. Not that when you realize it, you obviously you make that improvement, but it's just like, is it really at like when you make it to marriage, that's when you finally start realizing like, oh, I don't know how to express my feelings.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just like, trying to work out the other relationships in her life.
Like, did you come straight from childhood to this marriage? Like, you had no in between to like work out your issues.
Just a little bit of a middle ground would help, but.
So they're preparing for their Dr. Pepper visit, and they are practicing the dance moves they learned at their hip hop dance class. Noi says that she anticipates tough questions from Dr. Pepper. Pepper comes in. She says that she knows there've been great things, but she wants to know from Noi how she feels that she has made progress in opening up. Noi says that she and Steve have done better, but Steve has made it easier. It's easier for her to open up now. She says it's been easier expressing herself, and that has caused them to open up. But she tells him it was because of him, but it's due to how she dealt with things as a child as to why she is so standoffish when they have confrontations. She says now, even if she isn't ready to talk about it all, she is comfortable saying she needs a moment. Steve says that he has wondered if when she gets frustrated or mad, she's just going to walk away. And, you know, he may feel that way coming from a feeling of abandonment from some of these past relationships. And he hadn't thought about that until Noodlegate, until she just walked out and left for a whole ass day.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper mentions Noi not moving in with him after decision day and wants to know if they've talked about it. Noi says, no, we really haven't. We're ironing out all the details. And Steve says, you know, it didn't even cross his mind that they wouldn't live together until Noi brought it up. And he wants to know the reasons behind it. And he said that, you know, he needed to understand that what she told him it was about was her independence and her feeling of accomplishment. But he also wants her to consider how he feels. Pepper tells them that Pepper tells him the bombshell.
Yes.
That, you know, hey, I live separate from my husband. And Noi's like, yes. Get it. Yeah, I was right. Boom. She like starts standing up and starts like throwing confetti. Like, I was right. I was right.
Right.
But then Pepper stops her. He's like, well, listen now. Like, this is my second marriage. And in my first marriage, we had to raise kids. So we definitely lived together because that's what we needed. And Noi's like, oh, okay. So it wasn't all the way right. Okay. Pepper asks them how they will reassure each other if they are living separately. And how are they going to feel truly make each other feel truly married? Noi says they haven't ironed all the details. We want to do their best to incorporate each other into the everyday routines, but she isn't sure what that will look like. But she wants to reassure him that she wants him in her life every day.
You know what I don't get? I don't get that she has the studio apartment, but her only solution is that she lives there and he lives somewhere else. Why can't y'all live together? You still have your studio. You could rent it out. You could just have it as a place that you can keep extra storage. If you just don't want to have that extra income, you like set. It's not we live together and I sell my place or I live in the studio apartment. Like, why is she not thinking about other options?
I think Noi has let this get away from her. I think Noi only wants this place as a fallback. Like, right. She's so nervous about this not working out she just wants this as a, like, I can go to this. It has all my stuff still there. It doesn't work out. I don't think she really wants to just like live separately. I think what would end in her mind, what would happen is she moves in with Steve, and if something bad happens, she can go right to that apartment.
Yeah.
If Steve has another fit about his noodles, she can just walk to that apartment and she'd be good.
So what is Steve's living arrangement right now? Last time I checked, wasn't he just living out of his van or something like that?
Well, he had an apartment when they did the home visits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
With his workout equipment and his neon LED lights.
Oh, yeah. He was so obsessed with those lights. Oh, that feels like ages ago.
It does, yeah. Right. That's what I was about to say, because like, they haven't been back to their original home since. Like, it's not like last season when we went to like Ryan's house for like a few dates or like Jake showing off his house with his multiple gyms and saunas or whatever. So I was really thinking, I was like, does Steve even have a place? Can't they just go and get a place together? Just like Asia said, I just don't. It just doesn't make too much sense to me. And this is a rented apartment Noi has, right? She didn't buy a studio condo, right? Like,
She better not tell Olajuwon.
Yeah, I just think that, I don't even think that Noi wants to live, to quote unquote, live apart from Steve. I think she just wants a backup. Because, I mean, she says, like, I want to be with him every day. So, like, why aren't you just living together? Mm-hmm. Like, then what's the problem? So we end the Steve and Noi segments with a confessional of Steve saying, you know, I'm all for non-traditional ways of marriage, but you can't really raise kids productively if you live across town from each other.
Right.
Yeah, so that was it for them. Next time on, we get Noi again talking about, I've never met the Steve that has a job, so I don't know. I still have questions about that. And then we get Steve looking at rings, like he's trying to upgrade that ring. He's like, I just wanted to know how I feel about her by, you know, buying her a rock and just letting her know how much money I have.
I feel like Steve is so committed. Like, he's showing that and just trying to make sure that they don't go to sleep angry, that they talk through their issues. He's trying to upgrade their ring. And then she's like, I'm not sure I want to live with you after. I'm not sure I want to do this. I'm not sure. It's like they're in two different relationships.
Yeah.
Feels like Steve's trying to force it a little bit. Like, that's the feeling I get from Steve. Yeah.
Well, I'm so confused because, right, again, the last time I was here, wasn't she talking about how she loved him?
Yes.
Like, 3 days in. Like, what changed? Like, truly, what changed? Is it just she does not want to change herself? I think that's what it seems like. Yeah. She just doesn't want to. She wants to be able to do what she wants and not actually merge lives like a married couple. Like, it is just, I've never seen somebody like kick and scream their way like, out of a relationship, especially a good one. With a man who really wants to commit in all of this. It's just really fascinating to really watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a bad way.
So let's get down to ratings. Again, we do our rating system 1 to 5. 1 is they are not likely to say yes on decision day. To 5 is how likely they are likely to say yes on decision day. So Asia, where are you at with Stephen this week?
I'm actually going to go up a 4. I've been a 3 for a while on them for the past few episodes, but I'm thinking that it's going to come down to, like, I feel like even with all of the things that Noi is saying, I feel like she's a yes. I think it's going to come down to what he's going to say. If he thinks that they could get past the issues they have, like the social media stuff and the communication, but I just can't see them both saying no. So, and I feel like Steve, I mean, by looking at a new ring, he's like, he's all in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would find it very hard to believe that she would say no on decision day. So I'm going to go 4.
All right. Mari, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think they are definitely a 4. I think they're going to say yes. And then I think by the reunion, we'll figure out if they figured it out. Because I can definitely see them saying yes and then trying to figure out where they're going to stay. And then if, you know, once the cameras are gone, if it's either going to get worse or it's going to get better. So definitely a 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 4s across the board.
All right.
You know, I feel like Steve's in. feel like Noi is mostly in. I think opposite of Asia, I think if anyone's going to say no, it's going to be Noi. If she doesn't feel secure, I think she might be out. But yeah, I want to give it a 4 because I feel like it's a high likelihood they both say yes, though.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So Asia, where are we going to go next?
Yes. So let's go ahead and talk about Mark and Lindsay. So we start out with the selfie cam. You know, it's never a good sign. Never a good sign.
Especially with Lindsay.
She's like, Mark thinks that I'm too much of everything. Too caring. Too loving. Too much.
You know, he did not say that. He did not say that you were too loving or too caring. He might have said you're too energetic. He definitely said you're too much, a lot.
Too hyper.
Yeah. You're not too loving, Lindsay. Come on.
Right. I was like, that's how she heard it. Like, so get this flashback to the previous night where he's like, you're too much. Like, when you're too much, it's not enjoyable for me. Every 10 seconds, you're trying to, like, lick, kiss my neck and lick my ears. We cut to Lindsay back in her selfie cam and just like, you know, if Mark wants a lesser woman, you know, he can go get that because I'm not going to be any less of myself for someone else.
She is totally conflating like the issue. Like, he's not telling you to be a lesser woman. He's telling you to stop being like weird.
Too much.
Like, stop picking at him every 5 seconds.
Yes, I think you said it on one of the earlier episodes, Jason, like her like giving love language is physical touch. But that doesn't seem to be Mark's like receiving love language.
Not at all.
So if he's telling you like I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of physical touch, just scale it back, girl. Like, just
I'm sure coming into this, Mark thought he was okay with touch. And now, like I thought I was okay with somebody like being affectionate with me and touching me, but this is a lot. Like, this is like too much.
And that's my second point. Like, who would have imagined Mark the Shock? All of the energy that he brought to this show is now like he has literally met his match. She has drained him of the energy, and he is just like, I'm done. Like, he's
too much.
I feel so sorry for him because she'll be yelling at him or arguing with him, and he's just sitting there wide eyed. Like, that was him all last episode, just wide eyed. Just, I cannot believe that. And I thought the experts, you know, when I was last here, did a good job of finding two people that I genuinely thought were on the same energy level. Like, they were both so over the top, but she is browbeating him to he's like, nah, he's probably like, have I been doing this to people all these years?
It feels like Lindsay and her buddy Elijah Wan are like energy vampires. Like, they have sucked all of the life and energy out of their partners.
Yes.
And their partners are just so dejected now. Every time they're on camera, they're just like, oh my God, when is it going to be over?
Right. Exactly.
I think her love language that she loves is, or like, her own love language is physical touch, but I think she thinks that she has to give acts of service, even though she's like no idea what his love language is, right? And so she's just doing all this physical touch because that's how she likes to receive it, so she just wants to give it off. But I think that she thinks, okay, in order for Mark to know that I care for him, I need to do acts of service. Because it's just like, girl, why? It's as if she has this filter when he talks to her. So she never actually hears what he's saying. She hears what she wants, So for like for her to say, oh, he thinks I'm too caring and too loving. It's because she thinks that she's being very caring and loving. And he says she's too much. So she's like, oh, so I'm too much of that. Rather than hearing the other words he's saying, it's like, stop kissing me and licking my ears.
Nobody wants that. Sometimes. Right. It's like sometimes you just don't want that.
Right. So we got their Dr. Pepper visit pretty early on in the episode. And this is where Dr. Pepper is like, hey, how can I help y'all? What can I help y'all with? And he says, like, his struggle has been the same for weeks is, you know, they have those good times. Then it gets really frustrating. They have those frustrating conversations. And it's really hard for him to be affectionate when they have these frustrating conversations, because that's what makes me know that physical touch is her love language, because they're not having sex and because he's not being physically affectionate, she thinks he doesn't care about her at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's just like, oh my goodness. And he said all these arguments are draining him, and he brings up, he brings up how he called her hyper in Vermont. And Dr. Pepper's like, well, that hyper is not a compliment.
But it's not an insult either. Like, it's just a characteristic. Like, this is how you're acting. Like, you're just really hyper. Like, right. You have a lot of energy.
I think it's because like people just automatically associate hyper with a child. And so I was like, when Dr. Pepper said that, I was like, she didn't explain it that way. But when she said it's not a compliment, I was thinking like, oh, okay, because people think kids are hyper, right? And so he brings it. They have this interesting exchange about he's telling Dr. Pepper how like Lindsay can be like really playful in the bed, and he tells her to stop. And she's like, no. And Dr. Pepper's like, well, Lindsay, do you stop when he says stop? She's like, well, no, it's never like stop. I don't like it. It's more like a playful like stop, 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 stop. So they give us a flashback. Did the flashback confirm who was right?
I'm not sure what they were trying to convey here with the flashback, because I could kind of see both arguing. Yeah,
same.
The flashback was like, can we talk about consent laws? Like, what is this?
Like, right. Like the words, the way he said stop, it sounded like how Lindsay interpreted it. Like, stop, 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 stop. But if you looked at him... Yes, mm-hmm. You looked at his body language.
If Lindsay was a man, Lindsay would be in jail right now. Okay?
That part.
Yeah. I mean, it did get to a firm stop, yes. But she still interpreted it as playful. So, Dr. Pepper understands that, and she tells them that they have they lack a basic understanding of each other, which we know. Mm. And Dr. Pepper's just like, oh, well,
where have you been, Dr. Pepper?
Exactly. We could have told you that on the honeymoon that they don't understand each other. It's too late now. Right. Today is tomorrow. So Dr. Pepper's like, okay, do y'all ask each other questions? Lindsay's like, look, I don't even want to ask him questions. I don't want to hear his answers to things. She's just like, I'm just getting to the point of like, okay, you don't care, I don't care more, and you don't get to hurt me because my wall is up, so you're out. And all very definitive statements, which Dr. Pepper calls out. She's just like, look, these are all very final. Why don't you just ask him how he feels about you? So she does.
Listen, we all are like, you know, taking all the experts to task. We're not showing up this season. But does it really matter if they show up and give the advice and no one takes their advice? Same thing that she told Lindsay about last time she talked to her a few weeks ago. Don't so use true. Final language. Don't be so aggressive. Mm-hmm. Like, let him come to you. This is the same thing she said last time.
Yeah. Literally.
And Lindsay's so weird in a sense, like, everything she... Like this whole time, Mark is like, I'm not doing this stuff intentionally. I think you think I'm doing it intentionally. Like Lindsay's constantly like, Mark, you put me down. You try to make me lesser. I'm like, was on the last episode when they were in Vermont, and she's like, you're constantly taking little jabs at me. I'm like, Lindsay, what do you think you do to him? Right. Like, especially during that questions game, like how that was so awkward. It was like, mm-hmm. Why would you? Girl, like, I really hope that she's watching this back and truly, like, learning something from Same. This. Because what she interprets in the moment does not seem to be what is being relayed to us watching the two of them from an objective point of view. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Some of the attributes that she attributes to Mark's behavior, it's just simply not there. Like, I'm sorry. It's just it's simply not there. It's very much giving shades of like Michaela last season a little bit, yeah. But just almost even, I would say probably 10 times worse than Michaela, to be quite honest. I mean, it's just really weird. She's like, you have to do this to gain my trust and my love. Yes. I'm like, girl, look at him. He does not care. He does not want. He's like, he's probably thinking of himself, good. Throw that wall up. Don't talk to me.
But I don't remember what season it was, but there was one time where they showed like someone footage from earlier in the season, like asked them about like their behavior. I want them to show that to Lindsay. Like, I want them to bring out an iPad. Or bring in the big AV cart from school.
Yeah, okay.
And like show Lindsay's like, okay, you complain all the time about him cutting you down. Let's take a look at this clip right here.
Yeah.
Where you did this little game and you talked about how he lied about what was going on in bed, and then you say, because you told him it was good. Go ahead and cue the tape. Go ahead.
I just want to say
now let's talk about cutting other people down, Lindsay.
I suggested that when I was on here last time, and y'all was like, no, because in the real world, you can't just pull out a TV card. I'm just saying, I said that they should have done that for Jasmina and Michael when they had that first argument where they thought that they cut each other off.
And then a few weeks later, they did that for Michael on After Party.
Right.
So, yeah.
We can't treat this like the real world.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is an experiment. So you might as well, like, if you truly want, if the main goal is successful relationships out of this experiment, that is not out of bounds to me. Like, for certain stuff, you can always just like, look at this. Let's look at this. You know what I'm saying? But I don't even know if rolling all of the footages can help Mark and Lindsay. Yeah.
Right. She would probably interpret it so differently than what we're seeing. She's like, yeah, look, I was joking. So loving.
I was joking.
Exactly. So yeah, Lindsay comes to the conclusion, it says that she just thinks that he's not the guy for her. But then they cut to commercial. Ding, ding,
ding, she right.
Right. And we come back from commercial and they're still in this conversation, which is good because they didn't leave us on a cliffhanger. But she finally asks him if he cares about her. And he says he does. She's like, how? He's like, well, like the way, like the things that you're explaining, like it's not deliberate. I'm not trying to deliberately hurt you. And she explains that she can't even get his attention. The other day, she asked him to focus on her. And then he went to Instagram, then Twitter, then Snapchat. Why is Mark on Snapchat? I'm like, there's no way. I think she's just naming social media. I refuse to believe Mark the Shark was snapping his buddies.
Right.
I don't know. I just can't see it. And so Dr. Pepper's just like, okay, Mark, you could give more affection to her. And Lindsay, you need to reduce the pressure. Like, you're putting so much pressure on this. And Lindsay's just like, look, I just want somebody I can have fun with, try new foods with. And Dr. Pepper's like, he has tried new foods. What are you talking about? And then cue the flashbacks of all these times.
How did he not know what salsa was? I can never imagine
what kind of
life.
Salsa it was. Okay. Yeah. He didn't know what he was eating.
Jason, these your people? This your people? Yes.
Listen, this is the second podcast like a week I've had to defend my picky eaterness. I also had to defend myself on Rob Nakiva Need a Podcast, where they were basically trying to say that picky eaters should be put down.
Oh, God.
But no, I understand Mark. I understand where Mark's coming from. Like, don't try to try something new every freaking meal. Like, leave me alone. Stop picking at me. Like, why don't you try this? What about this? What about this? We don't want to hear that. We like what we like. Leave us alone.
Exactly. Yes.
But also, some of the stuff that he was trying was a little basic until they got to, like, the grape leaf. And I was like, I guess. Yeah. I hope you've had experienced a little bit more flavor than he has, Jason.
I doubt it. I think I give Mark a good run for his money, probably.
Oh, God.
Y'all will see in New York, probably. We'll
oh, gosh. We're going to have to make him try everything. So Dr. Pepper just wants Lindsay to cut him a break. She's and Mark finally like finds his voice at this moment, and he's just like, look, I know every single meal you're gonna want me to try something. He's like, I know going into that, that's the situation. He's like, you need to know, I know how to love someone. I've done it before. I can love you how you want to be loved. You just have to give me time. You just have to let me get there and understand that I can give this to you. I can give you what you want. He's like, I know you want to feel important. And you want to be, you want me to say these things. Just understand that I can get there. And I enjoyed Mark expressing himself in this moment.
This is like a script out of a movie or something. He had a whole mile, like, damn, Mark, all right, come on, bring it. Right. I'm confident, Mark. We like that.
Yes. Exactly. And look what a little bit of help could bring out.
It didn't show her up, too. You see how she was looking at it? She's like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, my. She did talk about that on After Party, too, of just like, she really liked hearing it. And she's like, you could see in my facial expressions that, you know, I was enjoying hearing that, which this is the last After Party. They announced the After Party finale.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they're not going to be next week.
I don't know. That's weird. I hope they bring it back. I really enjoyed After Party.
Yes.
Every episode was good. This episode was fantastic. Like,
it was good.
Not a really like deep emotional stuff with Lajuan and Mike and Lindsay inserting herself into Lajuan and Mike conversation. But it was really good. Yeah. If you haven't seen the After Party, I suggest y'all check this one out. Even for those people that don't like After Party, check this one out.
Right. So then we cut to Lindsay holding JC, who is Mark's cat, who he's had for 14 or the cat is 14 and Mark has had him since 2007. He's been through everything with Mark, including like his dad, his dad passing away.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
Okay. For his dad's funeral. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And so he's just like really loves this cat. Like he's like, he's been his best friend through everything. And we find out that like he has like a sty in his eye, the cat does, and that there's like something in his lungs that will spread. And the doctor has come to the conclusion that it's best that they say goodbye to the cat because he's going to stop eating, and like it's only going to get worse.
Boy, they were cutting up onions or something when this thing was going out. Eyes dusty. I don't know what was going on.
Allergies, the pollen.
Yeah, not sure what it was. As someone that, you know, lost a cat like a number of years ago, is like hit me big time. This segment. And it was like, but it was so weird. And like when they're sitting in the vet's office and Mark is like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But like Mark is like cuddling his cat. And then Lindsay just comes, like, runs off from nowhere, like, from off camera, and, like, pretty much grabs the cat out of Mark's hands. Yes. And, like, swallowing the cat in this blanket. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, the man had a moment. Like, dang. Like, you can see it. Mark's face. He's like, what are you doing? Like, let me just have a moment.
And when Lindsay, she walked up, I thought it was the vet. Who was this walking in on his moment like this? Of course, it's Lindsay.
Yeah, she super aggressively grabs a cat, like throws it in a blanket, and is like rummaging the cat around the blanket, like, Lindsay, calm down. And she's like, she gets in Mark's face, and she's touching Mark's face, like, Lindsay, you just talking about this like 2 seconds ago.
Yes.
Stop touching, especially this emotional moment. Like, be there for him, like, give him some space with this, you know, his buddy. That, you know, he's getting ready to lose. And it's just it was so bizarre. Like, I know in this emotional moment, I'm not supposed to laugh, but like, I couldn't help but like laugh a little bit. I'm like, damn, she ran in there super aggro and just pretty much yanked the cat out of his hands.
She did. That's what, I don't mean to laugh, but she truly did. I was like, how do you know this cat wants to be wrapped in his blanket? That cat was chilling. They were just having a cute little chilling moment.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but that's Lindsay in a nutshell. Like, literally. She just has to like run in and insert herself into a situation. She has this like extreme like savior complex.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, like just take a moment to relax.
That's what got me, was that it was so touching, like hearing how much JC meant to Mark, right? Like, and he is literally grappling with the fact that this is about to happen. Like, he's having to say goodbye to his best friend.
And, oh my God, is that Lindsay's music?
Lindsay! Just Lindsay being who Lindsay is just couldn't help but interrupt the moment.
Let me save you. Let me make the cat more comfortable. Here, give it to me.
The fact that she kept repositioning the cat. Like, you've already swallowed him, swaddled him, right? And Mark is explaining how he feels. And she keeps picking him up, swaddling him more. And she's just like, no more than 5 inches from Mark's face. It's right. Like, girl, you have constantly said that Mark does not know you. You feel that he doesn't understand you. But yet, you are clearly showing you've heard nothing he has said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
She's definitely like a fixer. She wants to try and fix everything, but this is something you can't fix.
Yes.
And that's what Mark's problem since get-go. She's constantly trying to fix, but then she also throws it in his face.
Yes.
And, telling him his life has been falling apart. Like, that stuff like that was playing in my head as I'm watching the scene. And I'm wondering if it was playing in Mark's head too. All of the stuff she said, oh, his life is falling apart. She's always had to help him. She said straight up when they first met, like, oh, hopefully his cats die first. Like,
yeah,
oh,
I was like, gosh. Girl.
I even remember that. Oh my God.
That was one of the first things I thought. I was like, and this was what you was joking about. You put this energy into the universe. But the moment I saw like the pictures, I was like, oh no. I was like, not another one. Not another pet.
Listen, Asia, I know what you really want to come on this show, but once is a coincidence, twice is a pattern. Stay away. For pepper's sake, stay away.
I was like, how are we dealing with a pet death again?
Second season in a row.
Like, that's a true test. Like, the way someone can help you through mourning in a situation, a pet, like, it says everything. We saw everything with how Ryan dealt with things with.
Yeah, would you rather have Lindsay too touchy feely, or Ryan who drags you out of the house, makes you come to a theater to want to look at your wedding tape right after you put your dog down?
Which one is worse?
Would you rather? I don't know.
I think I would still rather take Lindsay because she's a lot, but at least she is showing that she is trying to be helpful.
Yeah.
She also feels something for your pet. Like, Ryan was just like, what do you want for dinner? Like, it was horrendous.
Right. And if I'm on the brink of crying, or I have like some tear, like if I'm just tearing up and someone is rubbing me that excessively, like, you know, when someone hugs you, it only gets worse. I'm just going to start bawling.
Yeah.
Not be able to stop.
That's out of context, Twitter, rubbing you excessively.
It's either that or stifling your tears because you don't want to make your partner uncomfortable.
Yes, because you can't even think about
like
it.
Yes. My God.
There has to be a happy medium. But
maybe next season.
Please, no.
Next season we'll deal with the pet death more.
Maybe if it's just like a fish, you know, that's like the circle of life. I don't know if I can handle another one.
I know.
So then, you know, we do find out that Mark did indeed have to say goodbye to JC. So it's just like RIP to a real one. That truly was his best friend. And you could see how tough this is on Mark to go through. And so, you know, even though she has her ways, at least Lindsay was there for him. Mm-hmm. And so they go to the woods. Now, I thought this was to cheer Mark up, but it was actually her hometown, to the past.
They said it on the after party. Yeah, this is, we're gonna go to the woods, but this isn't my woods. These are like some woods that are like my woods, but like, I'm gonna show you what my woods have been like. It was weird.
Yeah, I was very confused. And so they're walking through the woods and Mark was like, you know, like, this is her thing. I don't like this. She wants to walk off. They're walking on a trail. She wants to walk off the trail. She's like, I see a little path. I just want to take it every time. And he's like, can you come back? And she just said, like, when she was younger, she used to always run away as a child to the neighbor's house because she just wanted to find peace.
After 5 minutes, those neighbors are like, hey, Can you come with this girl? She is too much.
They probably called her hyper. That's where it started, her not liking that word. And in the blankest, like at this point, like you can tell Mark is not, he's physically there, but I don't know. He's not there all the way in like the blankest there. He's just like, well, why would you run away? And so she explains, and she just always wanted to stay busy. And I just felt like, I don't know. This is probably, I don't know.
Mark was me because I cannot recall this conversation. I cannot tell you about this conversation. I looked up, saw them in the woods. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I went to the bathroom, like, got some snacks. Like, I could not care less. I was right there with Mark.
Lindsay wants to walk me to the woods. I think I'm saying no. I'm waiting in the car.
Let's not. So she reads her letter to her younger self. She said, you know, people will appreciate her for her uniqueness. And basically from the letter, Mark says, like, it was really nice to see her get vulnerable. So I guess this was like, this was her flash to the past. And then we have they go to his parents' house, who they no longer live there. So someone else lives there. He says it's been 2 years since they were there, because he like the last time he was there was 2 years ago. And it's been 2 years since his dad passed away. And so he just talks about like how he used to play basketball in the driveway or play with his friends in the driveway. And he had spray painted his friend's initials in the driveway. That's okay. New. That's cute.
We could cut that out of the episode.
Right. He reads his letter. And he just says, like, take pictures to appreciate later. And they give us baby pictures of Mark. And y'all, that looked just like him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he didn't change a bit. Still big old eyes.
Mark the shark.
Big old shark baby.
Yeah. Mark the baby shark.
Also, I have a question for you guys. Was this the house that that house looked familiar? He was on was he on the Boston casting, the original Boston casting season? I remember you guys said that.
Well, he was being considered. Yeah, he was.
Oh, okay. But he probably wasn't like in the,
it was like, episode one when they're like picking the couples.
Cause I was wondering if he was there like in front of that house during that special or not. Cause it looked really familiar to me, but then again, like, you've seen one suburban house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But are y'all living in y'all childhood house? Y'all buying y'all childhood house?
I was with Lindsay on this one.
Right, that don't make sense.
I'm not living in your child house. Like, for you to be like, well, my mom did this over here. I don't care. That's your mom. I'm not your mom. Like, you want me to be your mom? I'm not your mom. Right.
Yeah, Mark wants to buy this house. He thinks it'd be a great idea if somehow they could find a way to buy this house so they could live in it.
Go knock on the door, be like, all right, y'all gotta get out. This is my childhood house. I'm buying this house from y'all now. So bye.
He's like, hey, Chris, you go just present yourself as a realtor? Just ask them, are they interested in selling their home?
I mean, might have luck. This is a seller's market right now. But still, right. It's still weird. Still weird.
Yeah, understandably so. Lindsay is not interested. That would be, I don't know. It kind of showed, I mean, which we know is just that, I don't know. Not that he needs to not let go of his past, but there are just unresolved things about his past that Mark hasn't reflected on that would allow him to continue to grow and move forward and create his own new things.
Right.
So that was it for Mark and Lindsay. Do y'all recall anything from the next time on?
They're both talking to their friends and basically saying they don't know which way they're going to go.
Right.
Their ups and downs, pros and cons. Yeah. Lindsay's definitely drunk. yeah, that was about it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, where would you rate them, Mark?
What? How dare you?
Where would you rate them, Jason?
It's going to be a one. It's going to be one all the time, every week. Hasn't changed. I think this is one of the worst matched couples in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, this, yes, they are both very outgoing, like gregarious people.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they're just two very different people. Lindsay talks about like, okay, yeah, like he has tried some new foods for me, but I want someone that's going to just like try new foods with me. Like, I want someone that wants me for me. There's someone out there that wants Lindsay for who she is.
Yeah, yeah, they're just not right for each other.
That is not Mark. Like, that's not ever going to be him. So like, no matter what Mark says about, oh, I'm gonna really gonna try, blah blah, bro, we're a week from decision day. Like, you're not gonna get there in a week. Like, it's over. Like, he's counting the days on his calendar. Like, it's done. Mark, I can't wait for a decision day when like Lindsay says yes and Mark says no, and he's like, "Are you kidding me? I was there for you when you had to put your cat down. I was there. No. I swaddled your cat with you."
If she utters those words, oh my gosh, I would be so I would be so done with
it. I put on Mark had a list. I put on a hazmat. I, you know, took care of your cats. I swaddled your cat when it was dying. I did so much for you, and you're gonna tell me no? It's over.
Where are you at, Mari?
Yeah, I'm definitely at a one. And like, the funny thing is, I honestly see why they put them together. I truly do. I do think that if I looked at both of those profiles, I would have put them together, and not just because, oh, I like the color blue, you like the color blue.
Right.
Both our dads pass away. Like, I truly think like they could have been each other's person. Like, Mark always gives love, you know, he was always there to give love, but was never helped. You know, Lindsay is a helper and wants somebody to love her. Like, I think they would have been, they are great on paper, but they just do not connect, like, you know, as people. Like,
yeah.
They just truly don't. And it really sucks, because I don't come into these seasons hoping that all of the couples go down in flames, and to have two back-to-back seasons where we may go 0-4 or 0-5, that's not fun to me.
It's
like,
not.
It truly isn't.
There was an article somewhere. Awesome. There was an article somewhere about like Married at First Sight fans are ready for less drama. Like, you know, when we watch these shows, we want somebody to fall in love. Like, you know,
at least it's one person.
Yes.
Give me one couple.
One happy story.
I think there's a possibility here. I think we might get the opposite. I think we might have a 3-for-5 going this season. I think it's possible. Possible.
We'll see. I mean, I think we'll get at least two yeses. But I still feel like...
Now, by reunion, who knows?
Exactly.
Right. True.
But,
and it's like, did I enjoy the ride? Not really.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So who do you want to talk about next?
Let's hit Olajuwon and Katina. Olajuwon again. Yeah, this guy. We're at home. Katina is talking to Olajuwon. She says she can't wait to go on more vacations with him. She wants to go somewhere in the snow, though, and she wants to do the little, you know, what's the little thing with the sled and the dogs? Like, y'all want to do the Iditarod? That's what y'all want to do? Like, y'all wanna do some horse, some dog racing in the snow? In a confessional, Katina says that the retreat helped them to get to know each other better and do new things they haven't experienced. And since meeting Oh, she has done more things out of her comfort zone, like running with, she calls it sheep, but no one knows what this animal is.
Why do they still not know that's an alpaca?
We were running with the gazebos.
It's just an ongoing thing at this point.
But they belong together. Like, they neither one of them get words right. Like, they're perfect for each other. And she says she's thankful for making her feel like a superwoman. I'm like, what? I'm just like, you know, Shayna from Love is Blind and the squint. Like, that's what I'm looking like. What are you talking about? What do you mean? So then Olajuwon tells her the best part.
She says she's thankful for her future baby daddy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Olajuwon tells her the best part of the retreat was them getting deeper with each other. And he says time's cutting down. They need to lock in on deeper subjects. Now, from the last episode, like, I didn't recall them getting deeper on any subjects. Like, it was that Lima, gazebo, whatever you want to call it, trip, and him like talking about her getting done with school. Like, I feel like this couple
that was their deep conversations in their book.
But I feel like telling her what she can't handle.
Yeah.
That was their deep conversation.
I feel like this couple more than any other, like, has conversations away from the camera all the time. And we're only getting like a wee like bit of what they're actually talking about. Like, I feel like Elijah Wan's probably like going for that. Like, I want to have conversations like off camera. And we'll just say the on camera stuff for me belittling you and you sitting there and taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a confessional, Elijah Wan says he's worried about the future and their timeline for kids. And if he's going to have to sacrifice travel, he needs to see if Katina can keep him satisfied while adding more to her plate. Ooh. Yeah.
This, Elijah Wan, like, I cannot believe I came on here on Beyonce's internet on episode 4 or 5, whichever one it was. Episode 6 while we were still in the
we had just gotten done with weddings. Mari, what are you talking about?
jeez Louise. It's been that long. And Semi defended you right after Bryce. I'm just glad Bryce defended him more than I did. But like,
that's his zaddy.
Olajuwon basically said, like, I don't think you're gonna have enough time for me. Like, let's not, you know, mince words here. He's trying to say, like, how can you get your bachelor's and, you know, travel and maybe be a mom? Like, that's really hard. That's a lot. I don't want you to get overwhelmed. And, you know, this is not about her, Olajuwon. You just want her to be at your beck and call all times. And that her schedule, that schedule doesn't seem like she'll be at your will. Like, that's what's really happening here. And it's very disgusting to see, to be quite honest. Like, the way that he talks to her, the way that he treats her has just been some of the worst TV when it comes to the type of reality TV shows that I've ever seen. And I just want to be like, girl, please get out. Like, please, please get out. Because this, what did Sarah say? This narcissism bubble or whatever it is, like, that he is on. It's just, get out before it's too late. Get out before you have them kids, please. Because the Katina from the wedding day, it's just not there. She's just not there anymore. And it's just completely
sucked the life out of her.
Yes. And how did we go from like Olajuwon? Because one of the reasons why I defended him in the beginning was Olajuwon, when he first presented out the gate, he was like, oh, I'm going to do everything for you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to make sure I'm going to treat you like my queen. I'm going to do all this. And at some point it flipped to she has to meet my standards. She has to come up to me. Like, he's had this plan. He really thought he was going to be Jose from last season and plug and play whoever the bride was.
Exactly.
She's going to be on his timeline. She got to come in with him, move with him. She got to go travel with him. And it's just so wild to really see. And I'm pretty sure they're going to say yes, and we're going to go over everything that happened in this episode. But I just feel so bad for her, and you know, I don't want this to come off like I'm second guessing her decision making skills, because it's really hard to see it when you're in it. So I'm not like downing her for it or anything like that. And plus, you're here for an experiment. You know, this is the whole point of this, to like really give it a try. I just hope she knows she deserves more. And I hope maybe off camera or something they can adjust this, because like you guys said, he's never reaped any type of repercussions for the way he's talked to her or treated her. And it's just very frustrating to see.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, he's done all he can to mask the language, but what he's really saying is he's too selfish to sacrifice anything for her.
That there it is. Yeah,
it's all about what she can do for him. It's never how he's going to show up for her. What he's going to do for her is all about how he's going to be affected by what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and there no way that he can sacrifice to help her achieve her dreams. Ugh. So they go to his old stomping grounds, and he talks about how tough it was growing up with all his brothers and sisters and a single mom. It shows the street where he played ball. And in confessional, he tells us that, you know, it's admirable that she says it's admirable that he is proud where he came from, that he's letting her into that. He also talks about how his upbringing makes him be the passionate person he is. And, you know, where he grew up is why he is who he is and why he is sometimes tough on her. Like more like dad speak, like, well, I'm tough on you. Why I make sure that you're doing all you're supposed to be doing.
I'm tough on you because I love you.
Yeah. And why, you know, he gets upset easily. And it's because of how he was raised and how he couldn't be soft. And that's why when he feels triggered or played with, he lets it be known immediately and explains that's why he is who he is. But I mean, and again, I said it earlier, like, that's not good enough. Like, like, yeah. this is why I am where I am. Just deal with it, I guess. Like, no. Like, fix that. Fix yourself. Like,
get some therapy, please.
Yeah, don't be an ass. Like, that's all we're asking. So in a confessional, he explains that he and Katina were brought up differently. As you grew up in the suburbs with a nice house. He tells her he does not want her to think he is just this guy that is either always up or down. He appreciates that she had taken the time to get to know him. And, you know, she could have said she wants a guy that's more proper. And she says, oh, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Come on, Katina.
She's like, I'm going to hold you down. It's like it's almost at every turn. It's her trying to prove that she could do what he's expecting. Like when he is. Like, oh, I wish he would tell me, like, I wasn't capable of something, like, from his own assessment.
Okay. Like,
it's just like, that is, instead of Katina seeing that as him doubting her, she sees that as, okay, well, now I have to show him I can do it. And it's just like, I just don't feel like that's the mindset. I mean, okay, right. As two married people here, is that just, I mean, how do y'all feel about that? I mean, I don't know.
Like getting a bachelor's degree, it's hard. I get it. I mean, but I don't think it's something that she wasn't prepared for. Mm-hmm. Getting a nursing degree, it's very hard. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. But again, if it's something she puts her mind to, it's not, you know, it's not unfeasible or whatever. Like, he's basically saying he doesn't trust her to be able to manage herself. And that is so annoying. It's very, very annoying. And I wish somebody would tell me what I can and can't do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, being with a partner is supposed to make those things easier.
Yes.
Ajuan is like, I want her to focus on herself. No, if you would act right and do what you're supposed to do, you would be enhancing her life. If you were helping her with things that she needed help with.
Support.
Maybe taking over cooking or making sure she has what she needs. Being a partner. But you're basically saying, like, I'm going to leave her alone so she can do her. And then, you know, if it's real, we'll come back to each other.
What? That was ridiculous. Did that come from?
They like, left if, us on that too. Yes. I was like, what's happening?
So dumb.
Imagine if this was Steve. Steve would be like,
Steve would never.
What do you need me to do so that you can accomplish that? I could do whatever I need to do to ease the load for you so that you can accomplish what you need, what you're going for.
Yeah.
Whereas Elijah sees that as that's what she's doing. So she needs to handle that because I already did it for me. So she needs to be able to do it for her. And if she don't need to be with me at that same time while she's doing that, if this is real love, then it'll be just fine.
Yeah. And it was a lot of degree flexing to me too, as well. Yeah. He's like, you know, he said on the last episode, I guess it was, but he was like, you know, I went to high school. I then went to college. I did everything I wanted to do. I paid my house down. I did all that. Like that conversation they had in Vermont, I was like floored or whatever, but he's like, I set all myself up and you haven't, you're still doing this. Like, we don't know. I don't know Katina's circumstances. How old is she again? She's 27.
She's 30.
Oh, she is? She's 30?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, we don't know the circumstances as to why she's just now getting her bachelor's degree. But guess what? It's way easier now to get your bachelor's degree at any point of life than it has been ever in time. You know, And as degreed people on here, so, you know, some degree people on here, you like, you should not be sitting here like, well, I'm good. She's not good. So like, you know, I don't know how she was raised, because that's basically what he said over multiple episodes. Like, she has not gotten her life together. He's really judging her for where she is at in life. And it is very disgusting to see, like, truly.
He's like, oh, I'm so thankful that she's not judging me from where I come from, but I'm about to judge her where she's at in life right now.
Yeah, like, he and Noi are very lockstep with this, kind of being like, well, they could grow up better than I did, so they don't know how bad I had it. I mean, that's two different lives. Y'all had two different upbringings. Like, that's just what it is. Two different
people, yes.
Yeah. It's annoying. It truly is.
It gets very annoying. So the next segment we get with them is the two of them go to a church. I'm not sure if this was actually Katina's church.
It wasn't. I brought you to
this church here that is not my church, because my church has not signed the releases. So it's basically talk about their faith. They're both high in faith. They both want to raise their children in the church. Katina talks about how, you know, her faith really helped her get through her mother's breast cancer diagnosis. And, you know, how she prayed for her mother and she feels like she has a someone in God. There's a lot of talk about their faith and how much faith they have. So they're pretty much on the same page there, how they want to raise their children, how they feel about God. So that was a very interesting segment. So we don't get much of these type of segments. I did wonder if I wanted to know, like, is Katina still going to church? Is Elijah on going to church with her? Like, we never get anything like that
right
on the show. And all the seasons we've seen, we've had people that are religious. We had Paige and Chris on that season that they were both seemingly so religious.
Yeah.
But we never saw them go to church. They had a Bible study or something.
And you saw with Ryan and Claire, like, Ryan wanted to raise his kids in the church, but Claire wanted to let them make the decision. So I was even unclear from this conversation. I'm like, does she says she's raised in the church. So yeah, we don't know if she goes present day. We don't know what his situation is. We know how he feels about his faith, but he didn't, unless they just cut it out, of course. If he grew up, did his family all go to church? Does he go to church now? It's very, very unclear. But it seems like they are in similar places, I guess.
Yeah.
And then when she shared how her mom was going through breast cancer while she was going through this process, I was like, have they talked about this before? Or is this the first time he's hearing it? I couldn't tell.
I didn't get the feeling that she was going through it through this time that they're in now. I didn't get it.
I thought she said when they were going through the process for getting on this show. Maybe she meant it. Maybe that was out of context, but maybe she was referencing something else, but I could have sworn she said when I was going through the process for this.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it was a church.
Yeah, a church.
Plot twist, neither of them go to church, but whatever. Yeah. Right.
I have brought you here to this church. Interesting. So then they get their Dr. Pepper visit. Dr. Pepper comes in. There's a lot of lead up, what's going to happen with Dr. Pepper and Elijah meeting them since their last tough meeting. Spoiler alert, nothing really about the last meeting at all. So Dr. Pepper asks him how they're doing. Elijah Wan says he feels good with Katina. The chemistry's there. And they bounce back from arguments really quickly. And he uses an example of an argument they got into recently where they were arguing about something. And he told her, can she shut up for a second? And he left, came back, and apologized immediately and told her, he needs to watch how he speaks to her. He says it feels really good to know he's with someone that he knows he can mess up and be forgiven instantly. Let's stop down there. How do y'all feel about that? Mari, go take
the
it.
The way my soul left my body. If you ever, what? What? You should never say that in a marriage, first point blank period.
Yep.
But also, you should never say that in a marriage to a stranger.
Yes.
You guys have only known each other for 7 weeks. if that is not the biggest red freaking flag, I mean, everything he's done has been a red flag, but I mean, this one was at least, this was like a glowing credit flag. Like, this was the reddest of the reddest flag. Like, that is so scary. If that can just come out your mouth that quickly.
That easy. Like, next? No thought. Like, I'm sorry. I think before a word comes out of my mouth, like, there's some type of thought. Like, especially us, okay, on podcasts, we're clearly thinking through what we're saying. But even in normal conversations, I don't just say something, even to a friend, and be like, oh, I should have never said that. Like, no, there is a little bit of a thought process that comes out. And if you were so annoyed or so frustrated with her that you just couldn't, there was no filter, you had to just say it. Yes, huge red flag.
But this just feels like one of many of their types of arguments. Mm. Like, I feel like there's a lot going on off camera that we don't see about their private lives. We got some like surveillance footage a long time ago about one of their blow up fights. Mm-hmm. I do think Katina gives it a little more than we see on camera, but he definitely gives it worse, it feels like. And what he said about like, it's good to know that I can mess up and be forgiven instantly. I was like, like that's giving like,
that's giving, like, he knows he can say whatever and do whatever because Katina is allowing it. She's not allowing it, but she is forgiving him on these instances. So he knows, oh, okay, if I make her mad, she's going to forgive me. Or, oh, if I annoy her, she's going to forgive me. So I can say these things. I don't have to filter myself because she's going to like threaten to leave, or she's going to say, potentially say no on decision day. Like that's a possibility, or it should be on the table. At this point, I think he knows she's locked in for a yes. So now I'm deciding what I want to do.
Yep. Yeah, exactly that. And I just cannot believe that. Every fiber of my being, which I don't think is going to happen, but I just really wish Katina would blindside him with a no on decision day. I truly would hope, because I have never thought of saying shut up, not only to my husband, but to any partner, any relationship, you know, I've ever been in. Like, that is just a line you just do not cross, no matter how frustrated you get. It just also just feels like a gateway to just worse things, especially when you suffer no repercussions, which we've clearly seen throughout this process. And even just from this fight, he said, why would you even say that on camera? Why did he say that on camera? Why did he feel secure enough to say that on camera?
Because he feels like it's okay, because that is who he is. Yeah. And that's just what it's going to be. Take him or leave him. It just feels like Olajuwon's attitude. I'll leave him. Thank you.
Yep.
So they're still talking to Pepper, and he once again brings up the situation about their timeline. And he's not sure whether she can do her bachelor's in nursing and be married. And he doesn't want her to become overwhelmed. And he wants to make sure that he's happy at the same time and that he's being answered.
Did
y'all catch that? What was that? Did y'all follow that? I didn't follow that at all.
Again, it's just coming down to, I don't want her to be overwhelmed, aka if we have a baby, I'm not helping. Yeah. If you are going through school, I'm not helping. I want you to again wait on me hand and foot. Like, that is literally what it is.
Yeah.
Also, randomly, I just remembered Stephen Noy. That whole baby diaper changing thing, I cannot believe that. Our method was your diaper, my diaper, your diaper, my diaper. Like, that's the only way we could do it, because that way nobody felt like they were doing more than the other one.
No one had to pretend like they didn't smell the poopy diaper.
That too, right? Have your child running around in a poopy diaper for 2 hours because both of y'all looking like,
what are your friends coming like, y'all smell that? Like, what? No, I didn't smell anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
She smelled it first. Like, what? Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. But yes, like, what is this? Olajuwon is just no help. He wants a servant. He needs to go get a maid. Like, go get a job. Leave her alone. Like, this is not marriage. His version of marriage is so warped.
It's like, if you're overwhelmed, Steve will bring you a meal. Right. If you're Olajuwon, you're overwhelmed, and Olajuwon's looking at you like, when are you going to cook?
I'm not being answered. You think you're overwhelmed? why are you not answering me? What even is that? What does that mean?
I didn't know what that meant. I was like, what does that mean? Elijah says so much like nonsense stuff. I was like, yeah. I don't even know what that means. Like, it feels like Katina's gonna be cradling a baby, like filling out a textbook or something. Mm-hmm. And Elijah was gonna be like, you clean today? Like, where's mm-hmm. the floor looking mighty messy? What's going on?
Why is my stomach grumbling? I'm hungry. Where's my dinner, woman?
Answer me.
And I don't want to see pasta again.
Manosphere got Elijah on in a chokehold. I'm telling you.
Well, then Katina finally gets to talk. And she basically says the same thing Elijah on is saying, which upset me to no other level. She says, yeah, yes. What he said. I want to make sure I'm not overwhelmed and I can be the wife that I'm supposed to be. But then she says she knows that he needs a higher level of attention and that he has a lot to deal with and that it can be draining. Yeah, no kidding. We see it. We can literally see it.
Right.
So then I feel like Elijah Wan is now starting to hedge against Katina's no, if she says no. Because he's telling us in confessional, right, like, if I was her, I would lock in. And I would say no. Like, yeah, that's what I would do if I was her.
He said, if she were to ask me for advice.
Yeah. Elijah Wan just seems very guarded. Like, he doesn't want to be embarrassed on national TV. Mm-hmm. He wants to make sure he's the one being, like, you know, giving the orders and being in charge of a relationship. Mm-hmm. So he's going to say, he's going to hedge his bets here. He's like, I want to make her say no. Like, mm-hmm, that's like, so I'm not embarrassed on national TV. I'm going to say that I expect her to say no. Yeah. So if she says no, it'll be fine.
And that's why I wasn't.
Yeah.
And that's why I wasn't sure if it was that or if like he now kind of wasn't feeling it and was like, wanted her to be the reason for it to. I don't know. I don't know what this was. This came out of absolutely nowhere.
Nowhere.
Absolutely nowhere. But yeah, I agree. If I was her, I'd say no too, Olajuwon.
Yeah, exactly.
For different reasons. He's just trying to have the control of the situation. And now he has all his bases covered because, like, look, I was on camera saying, if I were her, I would say no. So it's just like, it's so annoying. And he's just trying to have the upper hand and in this situation. And it's just kind of weird on the next time on where she's crying and they're breaking that fourth wall with the producer saying, Katina, how do you feel about the potential of divorce? And she is just like,
she's patting that head again.
Yeah. She is like, she is not, she doesn't look happy.
But he's talking to his coach about, like, again, with the situation of he's not sure that she can balance it all. And then he mentions that he's the same thing he went through with his ex, which is like, I wonder what that's about. Right. That backstory.
Right. Now, I mean, and that shows why he's so passionate about, like, this not happening, because he had such a negative experience with his ex. But Katina is not your ex. So whatever feelings you had with that, you cannot just apply them to Katina and think, oh, it's not going to work. He thinks women are women and we are a monolith and no one has two different stories and people don't behave differently.
You tell them women. So let's do the ratings. Asia, where are you at?
I am unfortunately still at a 5. There are no signs that either one will say no, even though he's trying to say she should say no. I think he's just trying to cover himself in case she changes her mind. So,
yep. Mari, what about you?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with a 4 just because I am praying that Katina sees the light. I agree. I think this is one of those couples where they'll definitely say yes, and then we'll just have to see what happens at by the time the reunion happens.
Yep,
I'm a 5. I think we've seen, unfortunately, I do think the show spoiled us. I'm sorry.
The show spoiled us
many, like, a few different times.
The phone call at the after party.
Yeah, uh-huh. I don't want to be a 5, but it's a 5.
And he's still so proud on the after party that they are still holding out like at this point in the season that they haven't had sex yet. And he's like, yep, nope, we haven't. Still holding out.
I still think that his whole Isaac thing was like a front. And like, he ain't really on that. And he ain't really.
He wasn't
like
pulling.
That. Yeah, he wasn't pulling no catenas. So we were just in our model all season.
Period. It sounds like. Because so, he did make a big old spectacle of, oh, I've been with so many women. I just hope I don't walk down the aisle and she's know somebody I've been with. That sounds like hyperbole to me.
Yeah. Big front. Yeah. So
big front. He's not pulling like Dr. Pepper is pulling.
Man, first marriage 23 years, second marriage 16.
Yes.
She is.
And she got him on the side waiting in another house.
She's got her own house.
All right. But only one place to go, Asia, for the next people. What's up with Mike and Jasmine?
Yes. So they did a better job this episode. Especially in comparison to the other couples. So I loved what I saw from them in this episode. So we start out with them in a car and they're kind of talking about, you know, the medium, and he thought that his grandma and his mom would visit, but instead his brother visited. And then he explains that the medium had referred to two other people at the incident, and it happened because there was a driver and there was someone else in the car with his brother, and someone shot at the car because there was a road rage incident and shot on the side with his brother in it. And so he shares this just like, you know, and this conversation has come up before this incident with his brother, but he didn't go into that much detail. So the fact that he has, it just came out. It's showing the growth in their relationship, at least just like their ability to, his ability to open up to her. And her to him too. But she's noticing a lot of change in him. And they talk about how the medium said that they're going to have twins. And Jasmina jokes. She said, look, if we haven't twins in a year and a half, that was a slip up.
Yeah. And they look so cute right here.
How do you feel about them?
Mike and Jasmina, they just make me sad because I'm like, what could have been, you know what I'm saying? If they hadn't wasted so many days on, like you guys said, arguing about nothing. I truly think, I think I said it when I was here last time, if Mike had started out treating Jasmina like he is treating her now, or like I said last time, like how Olajuwon came off, like kind of like worshiping the ground Jasmina walked on, I think they would have gotten to this place a lot sooner and still have time to progress past this.
Yeah.
I just feel like they don't have enough time. I also think Mike lost a lot of steps lying for no reason. Like, why did you lie? Unprompted lies.
Yeah, I never lived with a woman.
What? Now listen, you said a woman. Understand. You didn't say multiple.
I don't blame all of the lying. And then of course, like when you don't know somebody and you start raising your voice, raising your tone, you know, I see why Jasmina was at such a high alert at the beginning there, but I am glad that they're at least like at a friendship level. I also feel like, it's just so funny that kind of most of the stuff that came out in this episode tied back to when I was here last time, but like, you know, Jasmina saying like she wants Mike to open up to her more. Well, last time I was on here, Mike opened up to you about all his losses after y'all had that fight. And he was like, okay. So, right. That first time he did it. So like, do you blame him for kind of like pulling it back?
Right.
You know? So I just feel like, I just wish they had gotten here sooner. And I wish that, Mike was being a little bit more proactive. Cause I agree with Asia. Like, Jasmina saying she doesn't really want to be touched and all that. I get that. We get consent. We get boundaries. But also, you have to know, you have to be able to feel when little touches or little show displays of affection are warranted. And I thought that was a great example here in this episode when Jasmina was reading her letter and she was breaking down crying the whole time. I'm like, Mike,
yes, me too.
Touch her,
please.
But it went both ways though. Because she did the same thing when he was reading his letter. She stood like on the little bleacher thing and she was like looking at him. I was like, okay, time for the comforting. But he went to her after she read her letter and gave her the weirdest friend hug I've ever seen.
That's what I was.
That's what I'm saying. I was proud of him for doing that.
For doing it. He even, but during her letter, he actually stepped, like the camera thought he was going to go. He like, she was reading the letter. It panned over to him. He like made a movement and then he stopped himself. And then he waited until the letter was over.
The camera's like, whoa.
Exactly. I'm like, that would have been the perfect opportune time to just initiate. And this is not weird, creepy, sexual. Like, where, you know, that is just the comforting touch. Letting somebody know that you are there to help them get through. Like, she would not have stopped reading her letter and said, ew. It like slapped her right. No.
Like, can you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't have.
I'm trying to be vulnerable here. Can you put your paws off of me for 1 second?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. But yeah, I mean, Jason, I see your perspective of like the two-way street. Because Mike mentions that on the after party. Like, look, yeah, it's all on her. She, you know, I'm not going to do it if she doesn't allow it. And he's like, normally I'm way more affectionate because she doesn't want it. He pulled all the way back. But I think there is a happy medium.
There's a happy medium.
And she could be getting there faster.
He held her hand while she slept. Okay. He held her hand while she slept. All right. That was something.
And she smiled at it. Did she not? Like, we're women.
I felt that.
Yeah, we say things, we mean those things, but also we want you to show that you're taking some sort of initiative.
Yes.
You know, I tell my husband, I don't like flowers. I despise flowers. But if I get flowers like every once in 5 years, it's so much special because I get them once in every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much more special and establishing a ground rules of like, I don't want you to be all over me like Lindsay, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But a man being able to appropriately respond to your emotional like wavelength and not too much is such a, like, it's such a bonding thing because again, me and Asia are not talking about him sticking his tongue in her ear.
Right.
We're talking about just holding her hand, like in the car ride to Vermont. I was like, why aren't y'all holding hands on the car ride to Vermont? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about just
little things,
throwing your arm around her shoulder. Like, we're not talking about groping her in the middle of a Kroger's. Like, it's not. There's levels. There are levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you also have to say, Jasmina, stop saying you feel nothing when even the thought of him touching you enters your mind. She has to be a little more like.
Yes, those words are awful word choices when she's in these settings where they're asking how she feels. Because that, for him, I'm sure that's a turnoff.
Because he says this episode, like, this is not what you want to hear from someone that you want to get romantic with.
Yeah.
That she feels nothing when you touch her. She doesn't feel the urge to kiss you. Like, that's not what you want to hear.
True.
Take it from my perspective. That's not what you want to hear from your partner.
So did your wife have to give you like the airplane signals when y'all were dating? Like,
oh no. I was
Right, because you took initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but she didn't tell me, like, I feel nothing.
I feel nothing.
Yeah, like, I wasn't getting that. Like, I was getting good signals. We would give each other good signals so we knew when to come in for a landing. You know?
The green light.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
He's getting the, like, stop signal from her all the time. But he's like, you know. No, like, I can't, I don't want to do this. And he's let her know several times throughout expert visits and probably off camera. This is your speed. We're moving at your speed. You tell me when it's okay.
I guess.
But also, we don't want to have to tell you. We're women. We don't want to have to tell you.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I do agree on that point. She should not be saying she feels nothing because, that does not help. That makes him go further into, all right, you have to give me permission. Mm-hmm. But
So did she ever say, like, when she had told Dr. Pepper that she feels those little moments, did she ever say that to him? I don't remember.
No, not out loud on camera.
That's what I thought. I wish he would know that she does feel those moments of, like, you know, compassion and like those sparks, because I, like Asia said, there's no way that they're in that house flirting like they do, that there's not a point where they're like, there are signals being thrown.
I don't see how you share a bed and there's like no spooning, no cuddling. If you're a month plus into this thing of you sleeping in the same bed together.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm okay without the cuddling because I can see how that can be too much if you're like really like you know, cuddling can be a step too far, especially if what happens on the ultimatum happens.
Yeah, I was gonna say just that.
You know, like I understand.
Don't feel what we don't want to feel, if you know what I mean.
Right. So I understand the cuddling. It's just, for me, it's the more of like just the smaller thing that they should have been doing at the 1 month and stuff like that. Like that I truly feel they could have been setting themselves up for now.
Yeah, I mean,
speaking of the 1 month, it was interesting that we had the like behind the scenes scoop that Jasmina did kiss Michael at the 1 month. They just didn't catch it on camera. But then nothing after that. Like, it just.
But that's what I'm saying. It's what we don't. I mean, I haven't said it yet. That's what I've been thinking. We don't know. It could be that they're painting this picture. Because that's the storyline. Like, there's no affection there.
Pepper, she said to Dr. Pepper, there's been no kissing, no touching. Like,
I don't know.
Seemingly, this one-off, like the 1 month. Because he did so much for her, she just felt he deserved a kiss. I don't know.
Yeah. We did get some feedback from Lo. She said, someone mentioned that Jasmina loves Mike unbeknownst to her, and now I can't unsee it. She definitely cares about him a lot more than she puts on. Too bad they can't get past the intimacy hump because they really are a great match. Shake my head.
Yeah, just like Jasmina said it to Dr. Pepper in this episode. She's like, yeah, we haven't kissed that much. I don't know if I need to kiss him in order to know that I would like kissing him. I'm like, I think you do, girl.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, give it a shot. See what happens. What's the worst that can happen?
Right. We did go to her childhood home. It was the last place she lived with her mom and dad. She remembers a lot of butt whoopings. She remembers the bathtub. She has pictures of her and all her sisters have pictures there. And then they visit her school and she tells this really just really great story from her past of this, her teacher, Miss Pataki, which Mike called her Miss Pataki. But, Miss Pataki was, helped her feel like nothing was happening at home. She was like her safe place at school. And she was just like, basically like a mom to her. And she basically, you know, felt cared for from Miss Pataki. And she doesn't think she would be a teacher today if it weren't for her. And I was going to ask y'all, did y'all ever have any teachers that had such an impact on your life in the past?
I have a bad memory, so
teacher. So it's like, you know, no one could compare him to my mom.
Right. Yeah. My mom was my fourth grade teacher.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm so sorry for you.
Oh. No, it was great. I called her Mrs. Wells and everything.
But no, I've never had like a hugely impactful teacher.
Yeah. But I also want to say, like, yeah, I was cool with all my teachers. I just, you know, I was always a motivated kid, so I didn't really need like motivation, I think was the thing. But we just really need to shout out teachers, like all teachers around the country. Sure. You guys are, we know you're going through it. You are loved, you are appreciated.
Yes.
You are impact these kids. But also, if you need to take a break, take a break. It's okay.
Please, like, yes.
I, you know, if you need to resign, I understand, you know, but just know you are loved and supported.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah. I loved her talking about this because it really, like, teachers really don't understand. I mean, they probably do at certain, certain instances, but like, I bet Miss Pataki didn't realize that she had such an impact on Jasmina's life to this day. Right. So I just love that she had that place to feel, you know, safe away from everything that was happening with her at home, which she got more into in her letter to her younger self.
it was interesting when Mike was like, do you think that inspired you to become a teacher? She was like, oh, you know what? Maybe. Like she hadn't thought about it before.
Right. You look at him making connections. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when she's reading her letter to herself, she's crying. She talks about her mom left her, dad left her, her first stepmom never loved her. And she just, she's talking about how, you know, school was so important to her. And he finally steps in at the end of the letter and hugs her. And, you know, he says like he's really proud of her and he can see he can appreciate her more now, her strength more now, hearing this. And so I thought this was really good for them. And I feel like he had a good response because a lot of times in these situations, people don't know what to say. And they're just like, you know, I'm here for you. But I feel like he had a good, really good response.
He did do a great job, minus not going in for touch more.
Yeah.
Earlier.
So then they go to the house where he grew up in, where he was 14 to 18. And he said, like, feels really good for him to be there. He didn't think he would feel that way, but he feels great. He said there he remembers a memory of his mom spanking him and accidentally hurting herself. And then they both laughed. Yeah.
I think a lot of us can relate to that moment. I'm too old for this now. So are you.
Right.
So then they go to a park where him and his brother used to go every day at 7 a.m. to work out. So it's probably where his love for working out started. And he reads his letter just talking about how he'll be okay. It's okay to let his emotions show. There's beauty in resilience. I love that he phrased it that way. And Jasmina says she's really seeing some growth in him. And he feels like he is at the point now where he can share things with her and knows that she won't judge him.
Yeah, this was such a, and that's why I said it's just a tease because they, such a good moment. They could be so good together.
They could if they didn't lose a month.
A face cry from Dr. Cal on the honeymoon. We could have been so faster.
Yes.
I'm telling you, just a little snippet of, you know, she didn't really interrupt you there, Michael. Like,
And they did it on season 10. My friend is watching season 10 right now and she's like, oh my gosh, the experts are intervening on the honeymoon. I'm like, oh yeah, they did do things like that at one point. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It could help them so much. If they don't get together, I'm only blaming the experts. They were just left to their own devices. They didn't know what to do. So finally we got their Dr. Pepper visit. Found out that Jasmina had gotten Mike flowers because she said, guys don't usually get flowers. And Dr. Pepper was like, look, I give my husband flowers. Jason, have you ever received flowers?
No. But like I was, Dr. Pepper was like, I give my husband flowers. I get them sent over to his house every now and then.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, my friend told me that she was like, I heard that a lot of guys don't get flowers until their funeral because it's just not people deep. Don't. Yeah. Yeah, right. I was like, dang, that's heavy. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. So I'm going to keep that in mind. Yeah, the flowers aren't just a feminine thing.
Right.
So they talk about how the Dr. Viviana exercise was a turning point for them. Jasmina felt like she was always pulling teeth when she was having conversations with Mike, but now it feels a lot more natural and like he's getting a lot more vulnerable. And Dr. Pepper asked him, like, okay, is there anything y'all need to unlearn? And he said he needs to unlearn, like, not sharing how he feels. And she says she needs to unlearn. Mm-hmm. She piggybacks off of him with that, but then also says she needs to unlearn how to not be so, like, overly independent. Because she grew up thinking like, okay, if a man leaves me, I need to be able to do things on my own.
You got me like the same person. Like, I swear.
Mari, that's where we're friends. Because I feel like I can be friends with Jasmina.
Right.
Exactly. So they talk about kids. They want to be trying at 18 months. And Dr. Pepper's like, okay, well, how are y'all trying now? So, because she said, like, she could see intimacy between them. So like, mm-hmm. why aren't they kissing? Why aren't they touching? And Jasmina's still just not there yet. She just doesn't have that urge. And Dr. Pepper just like, y'all need to just hold hands. And that's when we find out he was holding her hands in her sleep.
Mm-hmm. At the reunion, I want them to do like this funny package of all the times that Jasmina has said, I feel nothing when he touches me. I don't have those feelings for him. I don't get the urge to kiss him. Maybe only if they end up together at the
end.
Yeah. Just to show hurtful. Her like how many times she was rejecting this man, either to his face or in a confessional or to another person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because even on the next time on, she's feelings still haven't come.
Yeah.
Like four times this episode, we heard that.
I know. It's hard because I don't think she doesn't like him. I think she has a wall up and I think she doesn't want to be hurt because we've seen some brides who just don't like their husband.
Yes. And this ain't it.
I feel like this is kind of like a Karen and Miles situation. Like, she didn't feel like she was feeling it until like even maybe after the season was over.
Yeah.
So that's what gives me a little hope for these two. Cause like Karen and Miles are like, you know, one of the better couples that have come out of the experiment, you know, still together, still in love.
That's a very good comparison, Jason.
Yeah. So like they didn't do the thing until after the season. Like we found out at the reunion, I think that they had finally consummated their marriage after the cameras left.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping this might be similar to that situation.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was gonna say. I'm wondering for her, like, it's the sheer pressure of just the pressure of like, this is the person you're supposed to be with. I wonder if once the cameras are gone, like that whole being friends really takes that pressure off.
Yeah.
And then like if they slip up one night, they slip up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like once that pressure is gone and then it working out like that, like I could definitely see something to that effect because I like Asia said, this doesn't seem like one of those moments where she just completely does not like him. They don't mesh, you know, they despise each other. It's just, it feels like it's the time constraint that's working against them.
Listen, a great philosopher by the name of Shane on Love is Blind season 2 put it best. He said, turn off the lights, put on some Boys to Men, and do what needs to be done.
Oh there my gosh. That's it.
That's how come Jasmina there.
Oh gosh.
And see if the feelings come after that, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to give him a 4. I feel like I can't go 5 until she has feelings or admits to having those type of feelings. I feel like she's overgeneralizing. I think she means like, I don't feel a sexual attraction towards him, but that's neither here nor there. So Mari, where are you at?
I'm going to give it a 3 only because I think they can go either way, but I still think we're leaning more towards a no. But I'm just going to give it a 3 because I truly think it could go either way. I think I could see them saying no and then maybe still being friends and you know, maybe dating afterwards or something to that effect, or even saying yes and be like, well, let's try it a little bit longer, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 3.
This is a 4 purely out of hope. That's what I'm crafting this 4 out of is hope. I just want them to see see through this. Like this could be a lot more. We just could give it more of a chance.
Yeah.
Like we're not where we need to be, but we can do better.
Yeah.
And I think the worst case scenario is we get to decision day. Mike says yes. She comes in and says no. I will flip a table. Before Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said this about Love is Blind too. If they come to me at decision day and say, okay, very important, you're going first.
No.
I'm walking out. I'm not doing this. This is like when your friend asks you to come on Jerry Springer. Like, this is a trap.
Yeah.
Like, this is a trap here. Wait, your baby mama asks you to come on Jerry Springer. Like, you know something's up, but you got to walk away.
Yeah.
You're like, nope.
Or God forbid Maury. Like, this is a trap. You know, don't go.
So that was our episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Mari. This was fun, as always.
No problem. I'm so glad to talk to you guys anytime I get to talk to you. And this season has been very long, very arduous. But you guys are the only reason I keep up with it. Honestly, it's the only reason why I've been keeping up with the last, like, what, 3 seasons of MASH.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is because you guys are here to walk me through it. Because if I stop watching the episode, I still listen.
Good.
So, thank you so much.
Appreciate the listens, Murray. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you?
Okay, you can find me on, you can find me and Sarah Carradine every True Crime Tuesday on REKP at Crime Scene, our new Crime Scene pod. It's a true crime review podcast where we review different true crime properties, rate, and give suggestions on other true crime, like documentaries, docuseries, all of that. This week we had Kirsten on to talk about The Dropout,
yes,
which is very fun.
That episode.
Thank you. I went full science. So
I was glad because I didn't know any of the science. I was like, Mari, this is perfect. I'm glad about that.
I'm so glad you liked it because I was like, is this too much? Like, I just stopped. they're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. So yeah, and so you can go and follow us on Twitter at Crime Scene RJP. That's CrimeSeenRHAP. Or you can send any recommendations, suggestions to our email, crimescenerhap@gmail.com. That's crime scene as in S-E-E-N. And of course, me, Chappelle, LaTanya are reviewing Atlanta season 3 over on Post Show Recap. So every week, the former Insecure gang bring you our thoughts and takes on this season of Atlanta, which has been very, you know, up and down. So go check us out on Post Show Recaps. And then, of course, you can normally find me on the Wrestling Wrap Up. And me and Matt Scott are taking a hiatus. We are on hiatus for at least another like 2 or 3 weeks. But just go and follow me at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number 2 on Twitter, or at Matt Scott GW on Twitter, so that you'll know when we come back.
Nice.
Asia, I know you're happy we have somebody on this show that does more than you.
Right.
Has a longer list than you.
Right. Yes. Mari stays busy.
Booked and busy. Right.
Where can people find you, Jason?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. You can check me out on the most recent episode of Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast, where we played a game called Around the Nicole Horn. It was a lot of fun. Probably one of the best RHAP moments of the year on that episode. Oh. Thanks to Sam Moore. You can also find me every week for this first season of Winning Time over on Post Show Recaps. I'm doing recapping that show with Grace Leader, so check us out there. We only got a few more episodes left of that show, so check me out over there, and you can find me here every week. Anything else is going to be on my Twitter, so check me out there.
Nice. And as always, y'all can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. It's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. Of course, where you found this podcast, the Love at First Sight feed. You could also go back and listen to any coverage of The Ultimatum. We did get some feedback from our own RHAP Out of Context Twitter account that said, who's crazier, those on Married at First Sight or those on The Ultimatum? I'm gonna go Ultimatum.
Yeah.
now listen, right?
Uh-oh.
People Married at First Sight, they're a little older.
True.
They should know better.
They
right?
Should. They don't.
Even Ultimatum or children. Okay.
Very so, good.
Very that.
So yeah. They crazy for a reason. They're not fully developed yet. These people are Married at First Sight. They should know better. So
I'm a
little Married at First Sight.
Well, if y'all like Married at First Sight, which you do because you're listening to this podcast, then you would love The Ultimatum. It's on Netflix. Go binge it and then go check out me and Mary Kwiatkowski's coverage of The Ultimatum. We cover the season in 3 podcasts. And so that'll be there for your listening pleasure once you finish the season. And then also Love is Blind's coverage is there as well. So stay tuned for more podcasts on Love is Blind in the future. And then, of course, Big Brother Canada is ending in a couple of weeks. So you can catch me around there, live feed updates, roundtable, episode recap, wherever. I will post it on my Twitter account. So give me a follow. Well, thank y'all so much. Thank you again, Mari. Just always a pleasure.
Of course.
We will catch you guys next week. Bye.